Well, today we're continuing through the book of Mark. Book of Mark is the shortest book in the Bible, out of the Gospels. If you want to read quickly about Jesus, there's four books. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want to remember them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right? Just easier way to remember it, okay? And so if you want to go do a quick read about what Jesus did, you want to read the book of Mark, okay? And today we're going to take a few verses out of chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. If you have your Bibles, please open it to Mark. It's in New Testament, second book of New Testament, verse 16 through 20. And I think our ladies in the back will put it on the screen if you don't have a Bible. And if you're ready, say amen. Amen. Okay, let's read it. And as he walked by the sea, Jesus, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Today's message is called, Go Fish. Okay? For they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you. Most of us, when we read that, and if you're new to church or Christianity, you'd probably think, well, follow me and I'll make you a better person. Follow me and I will make you more disciplined. Follow me and I'll help you with your marriage and your, help you be better husband and wife. Help you be better boss. Follow me and I'll help you be better brother or sibling or whatever it is. Follow me and I'll make you rich. Follow me, I'll make you healthy, wealthy, and successful. I'll give you a whole pie. Interesting thing is that Jesus does not do that. Listen to what he said to them. Follow me. And he says something totally crazy because they've never heard this phrase before. And many of you, maybe this is the first time you're going to hear this phrase. And it says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Huh. How many of you ever thought, when I become a Christian, he's going to make me a fisherman? And not just fisherman, fisher of man. Whoa, that's crazy. That's not what I signed up for. I don't know if I like this. All I want from Christianity is for it to make me a better person. To help me have a successful marriage. To help me get out of debt. Now, all of us come to Jesus. If I mention any one of those that pertains to you, we all come to Jesus with wrong motives. Nobody comes to Jesus saying, I want to be a fisher of men. Yeah. Nobody does that. But notice Jesus' agenda for his followers. And if you are the follower of Jesus, it's his agenda for you. Is that I will make you a fisher of men. And I'm like, whoa, hold on, Jesus. I didn't sign up for that. And look at this. This is crazy because it's not right. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Whoa. Imagine this. That's kind of irresponsible. If you don't know the whole story, that's kind of irresponsible. Watch this. Jesus is walking around business section of town because they were professional fishermen. They had boats. They had servants. They were fishing. Jesus is walking around in a business area. Now, some of you are probably thinking, yeah, he was raising money. Yeah, you don't go raising money to a homeless area of town. You go to where the business people are. Now, if you're business people, if you're a leader, there's a big principle that I'm not going to preach about. Notice who Jesus went after to be his disciples. People who were busy, people who were doing something, okay? And who was the Matthew? Tax guy? Judah loved money. He was good with it until he started stealing. But anyway, Jesus started going after people who were busy doing something with their life to make them his disciples. Now, does Jesus come after everybody? Yeah. Jesus loves everybody. He wants everybody to be saved. But for the next 12 guys to be leaders of the church, guess who he goes after? He goes in the business area. Just a little offside message. Okay? Not going there, but that's where he went. Now, imagine this. They're catching their fish at night because that's when they did. They threw their nets at night. And in the daytime, they were washing their nets. And Jesus says, come follow me. And they said, okay, we'll follow you. Make us fishers of men. And we've never seen this phrase in the Bible ever before. So that's not a common phrase. That was a new phrase that Jesus came up. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Some of you are already feeling uncomfortable because it's like, I knew this thing about Christianity. All they do is fish for people. All they do is trying to convert people. Why can't they just be, you know, serve God themselves and teach their kids, but leave us alone? Some of you are thinking, and please don't leave because there's a bigger message after this. And next week, if you come next week, we're going to talk why fish. Today we're just talking, you know, what Jesus did. And so these guys leave and follow after Jesus. And you're like, what is wrong with these people? Did Jesus have some magical powers? Well, Luke is another gospel writer. He gives us a little wider side of the story. You know, four guys saw an accident. They would all describe it differently. So Luke looks at it from a different way. And he said, Jesus came in the morning to the shore where all these boats were. And he came to Peter and says, Peter, how's the fishing? You know, any bites? You know how we do? Help me out here. When you come to somebody and they're fishing and you want to fish, you're like, hey, any bites? Oh, no. Or, yeah, man, it's great. So that's what Jesus did. He comes to Peter and he says, Peter, any bites? And he's like, all night, Rabbi. That means teacher. All night I've been trying to catch some fish and nothing. And Jesus is like, oh, really? Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you throw your, you know, nets to the right side of the boat and you'll catch fish? And they're like, yeah, right, Jesus. We've been catching all night. We're the fishermen. We're the professionals. We know what we're doing. And now you want me to get a sunburn, don't you? Because this was about 11 o'clock in the morning that Jesus came and said, you don't fish at 11 o'clock in the morning. Every fisherman knows that. That's when it doesn't bite. How many of you like fishing? Help me out here, please. Talk back to me today. You go either early in the morning or like around 5 o'clock, around lunchtime. That's when they bite, I think. You know, when we eat breakfast, they eat breakfast too. You know, and dinner, you know. Yeah, they don't like lunch. Fish skip lunch. No, I don't know. I just made that up. I don't know. But it's true. Remember we went fishing, you, me, and Zach? We got there late, around 9, 10, and we went till about 1, nothing, not even one fish. I think Zach caught something or somebody, no? No, he didn't catch anything either. You just don't catch fish. And Peter is like, listen, Jesus, what is your profession? And Jesus is like, I'm a carpenter's son. Oh, okay, so you know wood. Oh, great. Hallelujah. Well, if you know wood, why don't you do your wood stuff? Because we know fishing. We've been doing it since we were kids. My dad has been doing it, and now I am doing it. We're professionals. And Jesus says, but you know, Jesus preached probably a good message. So Peter was feeling guilty, you know. You know, he's been speaking to us all morning while we've been washing our nets. Okay, let's do it. Let's just make the preacher happy, you know. Just do it for the preacher, okay. So what they do is they take the nets, they throw them in, and before they start pulling it out, it gets really heavy. And the nets are so full of fish. See, it's not that Peter and James and John followed Jesus when he said, come follow me, I'll make you fisher of men. Yeah, it's like homeless guy comes to your business and says, quit your business, follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men. You're like, no, I don't think so. Probably not. You wouldn't do that. And if you did, it would be irresponsible. Right? But Jesus had to do something. And so what Jesus did was he filled their nets with fish so full that their boat started to sink. And look at this. Then they called their partners. That was James and John, sons of Zebedee. That's what they're called. Their father. And so they call their friends and say, come, we're drowning because so much fish. And so they filled two boats full of fish. And as soon as they pull it out to the shore, Jesus says to them, leave that and follow me. That's why these guys were able to leave everything and follow Jesus. It wasn't just, come follow me. Oh yeah, sure. I have nothing better to do. Why not? You know? And so let's keep reading. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Then he had gone a little further from there and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in their boat mending their nets because they were, it doesn't say there, but I just wanted to add it, because they were fishermen. They were mending their nets, and he immediately called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with hired servants and went after him. So look at this. Jesus comes and says to these two young guys, James, who was older, John, who was younger, and says, and John was about 17 years old about that time. He says, follow me. And the dad says, go. He knows more about our business than we do. Go after him, man. Go. You don't just put your kids through college and then say, follow some homeless guy. Obviously, they saw something. They saw Jesus fill their fish with net. They're like, we'll clean this up. We got plenty. Just follow that guy. And they went and follow him. Now, they followed him for their own reasons. How many would you agree that they probably followed him for their own reasons? Just like many of us came to Jesus not so much for the right reasons, but if you were younger and your parents scared the hell out of you, if you don't accept Jesus, you'll go to hell. And being 5 or 6 years old, guess what? I was smart enough to know that I don't want to go to hell. Oh no. Yeah, what do I do? Sign me up. I'll be a Christian. I don't want to go to hell. When I became older, about 17, 18 years old, you know, I was running around doing my own thing, and that's when I had to recommit my life to Jesus. And but then I had a different motive. My motive was I started a business and I needed Jesus' help. And I was like, Lord, if you can help me grow my business, then I'll follow you. And that's when I learned to give a tithe. And how I was so superstitious when I was 17, 18. I was like, okay. And I worked out a deal with God. I said, God, I'll pay you a tithe ahead. Okay? So you can help me during the week. And so I would do this. Yeah, I know I'm sneaky. And listen, the interesting thing is it would work. I would give $200 and next week I would make $2,000. And then I would say, okay, let's go a little more. And then we would increase it a little bit and God would do it. So really, I didn't start with pure motives either. Listen. Nobody comes to God because we love him and we want to be fishers of men. Because he says, if you follow me, eventually, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen right away. But God says, I can use what you want to get what you need to be. See, everything that we want is between our birth and death. It has nothing to do with eternity. There is an eternity. Everything we want from God is physical. But how many of you know that someday, how many of you know that things on earth don't last? God, help me with my marriage. Help me, give me a boyfriend. Get rid of my boyfriend. Give me a girlfriend. Get rid of her, Lord. I just can't shake it off. But God, help me with my finances. Help me have kids. God, just I'm so tired of my kids. They need to go, God. They need to go on their own. You know, everything in what we want is temporary. How many of you know that your marriage is temporary? It's going to end someday. Now, not in a divorce, because we don't believe in divorce. Bible teaches against divorce. Now, some of you say, you naive preacher. What do you think? Just because you say that. Because I say this all the time in our church. There's no divorce in New Life Church. Now,
How many, and hold on, let me go about divorce. Can I talk about divorce? Slow down, okay, slow down. Now, it doesn't mean, see, a lot of people here have had divorce or maybe had somebody they know have a divorce. We live in a nation that divorce is really, statistically, really high. But you know what? We always confess these verses. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. How many of you know that? Right? And so we confess that when it comes concerning our money. But why can we confess it concerning our marriage? There's no divorce in our family. Now, some of you think you're naive. No, I'm not naive. I understand that there could be a divorce. I understand that, you know, things happen. I understand that life just gets, you know, one person leaves or something. We can't control that. But we're going to confess it. And we're going to see results out of it. How many of you know whatever you confess over your life, that's what you will have? Because your words have power. So I'm not naive. No, I know it could happen even in our church. But we don't want it to happen. And we're confessing against it. And we will not say anything to our spouse that, oh, and some of you are young. You're so blessed to be in this church. Because you're growing up and already in your mind there's a strong foundation that's being built. So whenever you are getting ready to get married, you understand that that's already been programmed into you. That's called in the Bible words, renewing of your mind. I call it programming, so you understand. Your words program you. You say about yourself, I'm stupid, I'm nothing, I can't do anything, I'm worthless. And guess what? That's what you are. That's what you're going to be. You say of yourself, I'm blessed, I'm anointed, God has a plan for me, God has a great future for me. And guess what? That future is going to happen in your life. You know that you were created in the image of God. He spoke this world into existence and things happened. And He gave you the same power to speak. It's not only Jesus that speaks and storms become still. It's not only Jesus who prays and multiplication happens. You have the same power. Begin to practice it. So begin to speak into your life. Begin to speak into your life whatever God put in your spirit according to the Word of God. Anyway, where are we going? I kind of, you know, stepped away from my message. A little commercial, you know. No divorce commercial. So when we became a followers of Jesus, it's not because we wanted to catch fish. It's because of what He can do for us. It's, God, can you do my will? Can you give me what I want? And God says, yes, I'll give you what you want. But I'm going to give you more. I'm going to give you something that's going to last for eternity. I'm going to make you. Notice, you don't become. You're not automatically is or whatever. You are going to become a fisher of men. And you know what? When I was younger, I didn't sign up to fish, man. I wanted God to bless my business. And look where I am today. I'm fishing. Hallelujah. And God, the coolest thing about God, He's not naive. He's not like, okay, I know your own motives, so I'm not going to do anything for you. No, He says, I'm gonna use those wrong motives. I'm going to leverage them. And I'm going to get you to where you need to be. Yeah, these things that you are right now asking for, even in 5 years, you're not going to ask for them anymore. But I'm going to do something greater. I'm going to use you in your sphere of influence. I'm going to use you in a place where you're at. In your job, in your school, in your friends, in your relationships. And I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you a follower of Jesus? Because if you are, He is going to make you a fisher of men eventually. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Followers eventually become fishermen if they're truly followers. Some of you will say to me, well, Pastor, it's your job to preach. It's your job to be a fisher of men. Not really. I really don't make a good living doing this. I do something else.
And actually, I wish I was doing something else. But, you know, you can't resist the will of God. You have to follow what He has for you. Okay? So, so maybe from your perspective, yeah, I'm a better person to be a fisherman. But you know that people who are new believers, who are newly caught fish, are better fishermen than I am. I don't know many unchristian people already. No, seriously. All of them are either saved or I pissed them off and they don't want to talk to me because I'm pulling them to church all the time. Same with you. If you've been a Christian for a while, you either had your friends saved or you just, you know, you were bothering me so much about this Jesus thing. You were fishing them so hard that they started hiding from you, okay? But the best fishermen, what we found out in New Life Church, are those people who are new believers, who are just newly on fire for God. So you might be saying, you're better. Some of you might have an excuse and say, well, Pastor Alex, I have a horrible childhood. I grew up, I messed up in life. I can't be a fisher of men. If they hear my story, they'll laugh at me. They'll think I'm a failure. Some of you say, well, I've been a Christian all my life, and I really haven't messed up too much. And so, you know, what can I tell them? I don't have a story. See, each one can come up with an excuse why they shouldn't be a fisherman. I could say I'm a pastor, and as soon as I say I'm a preacher, people start running from me. They don't want to hear. So see, you have a better opportunity. You have a better opportunity. God says, if you follow me, Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. See, God uses your personality. God uses your story or lack of a story. God uses your position. God uses your influence. Whatever it is, God uses, and He uses timing. And when timing and personality and a story comes together, fishers of men. You guys getting this? Hearts are touched. If you've been a Christian, and I don't know if you like being a Christian, but I love being a Christian. See, some of you who maybe haven't yet, you know, fully surrendered your life to Jesus, you're like, man, you know, I don't have too much guilt yet to be a Christian. You know, let me get some more sins behind my back, you know, and let me get some more sins, and then I'll become a Christian. You know, my guilt level is not bad yet. Listen, I'm not a Christian because my guilt level was so, you know, so bad. But because somebody was able to tell me the story of salvation, and I was able to receive it. And I was able to, my heart was touched. See, I love being a Christian. He does make your marriage better. It makes your marriage better. He does tell you some rules that are beneficial for you. He does bless your life and bless your hand. He does. I love being a Christian. How many of you love being a Christian? Isn't your life better? Well, let me tell you a story. I remember being 9 years old. I remember being 9 years old, and for the summer, I would go and live at my uncle's farm, okay? I would go and live at my uncle's farm, and my uncle was a Christian man, and so I would go for the summer to my uncle's house, and he was a kind of a rich man. He was a Christian, and he was a part-time firefighter, and he had a big farm, and he would raise pigs, and he would, you know, give, you know, reproduce pigs. Did you know that like one pig could have like breed pigs, like 12 or 13 pigs at the same time? Yeah. Uh-huh. They have a lot of pigs. And so my uncle would do that, and his life was blessed. And at summertime, at summertimes, college students from college would go looking for work, and they would live at, you know, places that they could find. And so one guy came to my uncle and says, do you have a job for me? He was also a construction. He was a house builder. He did a lot of stuff. And so he started working for my uncle and living, because he had a big house, and I would live in one room. He would live in another room. And I remember this guy just being it out. He's like, how is it that you Christians, you're supposed to be these, you know, because I lived in a country where communists would put down Christianity, and they would say they're losers, they're boring, they're
they just weak people. They just, you know, there's no God. They're deceived. Whatever. They would say all these things. And yet, in this little town that my uncle lived in, he was from a family of 8 boys. And all the boys were just doing so well. When you're talking late 80s in former Soviet Union, you're talking a lot of people getting drunk and gamble and drink. They would play cards. It wouldn't be like gambling places, but guys would get together after work and would play cards and lose it all and drink it, you know, all, and that would be it. So people were struggling, but Christians, we had 2 rules. No drinking that we stuck to. No drinking and no divorce. That was the only 2 things we... Yeah, and so my uncle, you know, didn't drink, and so that's why you probably hear me say, I know drinking is not, you know, in biblically speaking, drinking is not, you know, a sin or anything, but you know, when drinking takes over your life and destroys your family and I mean makes it a mess, and when you got a check and by the end of the night you don't have any more money, and I mean you're struggling. And I remember this college student, he says, I'm thinking of becoming a Christian. He's like, you guys are doing so good. So from an early childhood, it has been planted into me that if you're a Christian, there's a great future. Because, I mean, you won't be at least like those drunks who are so drunk, they're laying around by the fences, you know, wet, walking around. You know, smelly. Yeah, in the morning, you know, you go to school and especially at the end of the month. How many of you, those of you who still remember, at the end of the month, they would get paid. I mean, and the whole town would stop for a few days because everybody's drunk. Not Christians, though. And so from that time, it was kind of planted that if you are a Christian, your life will be good. Now, I still believe that for here as well. That's a principle. Jesus said, I have come to give you life to the fullest. And Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. You get drunk, you go to the bar, and something goes wrong. Somebody calls you a name, or looks at you wrong, and you're in jail, and you don't know what you've done. You don't know what you've done, people. Now, if you sometimes like to, you know, drink a little, I'm not trying to condemn you and say, oh, you're a sinner, blah, blah. No. But I just want you to know where it could lead. Okay? It's not a sin. If you just drink it with dinner or whatever, but it could lead somewhere. It's not a sin though, so I don't want to put condemnation on you. Let God deal with you and Him tell you what to do. And so Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fisher of men. And today, I just want to tell you that I'm so glad that I'm a Christian. I'm just so glad. Yesterday we were sitting on our porch and eating lunch, and I was like, man, I'm so glad I got a family, I got kids, I got my wife with me, we're all eating dinner, and it's like, yes, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I don't think I would be here with my attitude, with my personality. With if you know me, I mean, I would be dead because I would get into things, or I'd be in jail. So from early childhood, I found out that it's good to be a Christian. And if some of you who are young here, listen, it's good to be a Christian. And maybe you start with wrong motives like disciples did. He can fill our boat with fish, man. He can fill our boat, 2 boats with fish. Yeah, imagine how much business that is. Maybe you start with God because He can make you rich. He can help you financially. He can help you get out of debt. Maybe He can repair your family. Maybe He can, you know, give you a good family, give you a good future. That's okay, God says. Jesus knew that they followed Him because they got fish. But He's like, that's okay. Just keep following me. And as you do, I'm going to take those temporal things and leverage it and make them eternal. And you will become fisher. Now, I got a little homework for you. I got homework for you. If you are a Christian, now if you're not a Christian, you don't have to participate. But if you are a Christian, I want you to do something. I want you to write a letter this week. You don't have to send it. But I want you to write a letter to the person who led you to Jesus. Because I'm so glad that somebody led me to Jesus. I am truly, nobody makes me be here. Nobody makes me. I love that God would use my stupid, and that maybe I was manipulating God or whatever, but He used that and changed me. And I'm not serving God because I'm afraid of hell. That's a wrong motive. It could start with that, but it could get better. I'm not serving God because He can give me a great business. He already did that, and I'm glad. But when you make money, you find out that money is not everything. And then it's like when you never ate cake, you want it so much. But when you eat it so much, you're like, I don't want it anymore. That's how it happens with money too, right? You just get sick of it and you're like, man, that's not, that's not what we're searching and we're running after this. But it doesn't satisfy. But I'm so glad there's something more. It's like being in love. If you've never been in love, you're missing out. If you're not a Christian, you're missing out. So this week, take 5 minutes and just reflect. Just reflect on a person who led you to Jesus. Write a letter to a person. Don't send it. You don't have to send it. If you do, go ahead. I mean, it's up to you. Don't send it if you don't want to. But write a letter to somebody and watch what kind of emotions it's going to produce in your life. And guys, listen to me. What I want as a pastor for you more than anything is for you to someday receive that letter from somebody that you brought to Jesus, that you brought, and their life was changed and their life became better. See, nobody wants to be caught in the beginning. But once you're caught and you taste this Jesus, you're like, whoa, this is good. See, catching fish is like, you calling me a fish, man? Yeah. But once you are caught, you're like, whoa, this is so cool. I like it better here. And I don't want, and there's something I want for you as a pastor. Is for you to get an experience, maybe get letters like that from people who you brought to Jesus. It's going to change your life. Now, we're ready to pray and finish our service. Next week, we're going to talk about why. But today, I hope that this word, and I know this message is not for the unbelievers. This is mostly I'm preaching this to the house. And you guys are doing an amazing job already, bringing people in, fishing. You're doing a good job. I see it. But God says, if you're a follower, for those who are not yet, it doesn't mean you're going to go and become a great fisher. Next Sunday, you're going to bring a whole net. Mean that is you don't make yourself a fisherman. You just have to be willing. You just have to open your heart and say, God, I'm willing. Make me a fisherman. Because what you ask for in this life will end. But people you catch for eternity, you will see for eternity. Imagine someday for eternity having your friend, having your sister, having your brother spend eternity with you, your family. Imagine coming together once in a millennium, because it's eternity, right? And even your in-laws, yeah. Imagine if you enjoy their company and their presence here on earth. You can enjoy it for eternity. It's not that in heaven you're going to always sing and do nothing. No, you're going to spend time with your family, your friends. You're going to go visit with people like Paul and maybe John and Jesus and God and angels. You can talk to angels. And I mean, it's going to be fun in heaven. It's not, and then maybe we can organize a football game up there, guys, and do that. And then girls, maybe, a social, a big
Yeah, you can go shopping, I guess, whatever. I don't know if you want to, but... Okay, fine, you can shop. I just don't know how it works in my mind. You're going to have to tell me. Yeah, you can buy me a robe, baby. Make it... Yeah. I trust you with fashion. See this? This is good. Yeah, you got it for me. That place is going to be amazing. And I want to see all of you there. And I don't want to just hang out here where it's temporary, where we can get in a fight and disagree. And I want where there's no disagreement. Heaven is going to be a cool place. And if you catch a fish, I'm talking, you know, spiritually speaking, we're not talking, you know. If you catch a fish, you're influencing their life for eternity. And Jesus said, yeah, I can give you a great marriage. I can give you a spouse. I can give you money. I can give you, you know, a house. I can give you a car. I can give you what you need. Yeah, that's here, though. But I'm going to also make you a fisher of men. Would you please stand to your feet and pray? Today we're going to do something differently. I would like you to bow your head and close your eyes, everybody. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to, because it's not in the Bible, you know, raise your hand and you'll be saved. We just do that as something for, you know, a point of contact. But I want you to pray today. If you're a Christian, thank God that somebody was bold enough to lead you to Jesus, to invite you to church. If you're not a Christian and you want to give this Christianity a try, and maybe it's, you know, God, you know, maybe you can fix my family. Maybe you can help me, you know, with my finances. Maybe you can make me more disciplined. Maybe you can make me a better person. Maybe you can make me a better giver. Whatever it is, maybe that's how it starts, and that's okay. Just ask Him. As you're standing there, you can do it in your mind or you can do it in your with your words. Just ask Him to come in into your life, to forgive you of your sins. And He'll come in and do it. Let's pray.